This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 512 in the series. This session of the radio show shares the Joint Budget Subcommittee meeting held on Monday, April 12, 2021. The Joint Budget Subcommittee is made up of members of the Town Council, School Committee, and Finance Committee. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Some of the Finance Committee members, School Committee members, Central Office personnel, Town Council members, Town Administrator were in the Council chambers. The remaining Subcommittee members joined the public via Conference Bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. Links to the meeting agenda and associated documents are included in the show notes. The meeting runs around 25 minutes. So let's listen to the Joint Budget Subcommittee meeting.
2021, I call the Joint Budget Subcommittee meeting together. The Joint Budget Subcommittee meeting is members of the Town Council, School Committee, and Finance Committee. And we are here at the Municipal Building, second floor at 355 East Central Street. The public will not be permitted to enter the building or participate in person. Only pre-approved participants on the meeting agenda will be allowed to enter the building and participate in person. Residents can attend and participate via the Zoom platform. A note to our residents. Due to the continued concerns regarding the COVID-19 virus and Governor Baker's declared state of emergency, we will be conducting a remote virtual budget subcommittee meeting for all public access and participation. In an effort to ensure citizens' engagement and comply with the open meeting laws regulations, citizens will be able to dial into the meeting using the provided phone number, cell phone or landline, or citizens can participate by clicking the attached link on the agenda if you have found it on email or found it online. The attached link and phone number will be active for the duration of the meeting for citizens to ask questions or voice concerns. If residents are just interested in watching the meeting, it will also be live streamed on Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 11 and Verizon Channel 9. Link to access the meeting on April 12th, 2021 there's a link in our packet as well as that's on the website. Or you can, on the screen is a phone number. The phone number is 929-205-6099. And the meeting ID is #897-6750-5396. I'll repeat that one more time so we have it. It is 897-6750-5396 and hit the pound sign or the number sign after that. Okay, we will get started with the first item on the agenda, which is the FY22 budget discussion. Mr. Town Administrator, would you like to get us started?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and through you to the members of the Council, the Finance Committee, and the School Committee. Welcome tonight to this joint budget subcommittee meeting. So tonight's meeting, I believe, as most know, was a bit of an outcrop from the Town Council Budget Subcommittee maybe 3 weeks ago, where we did a little introduction into the FY22 budget. And it was suggested that evening that we may have a need for a joint budget subcommittee meeting before the budget process continues, just to make sure that all of the three most relevant boards that relate to the budget have the same information and answer any questions about process, answer any questions about the budget numbers. I will say that the town administrator's recommended budget, requested in the town charter, will be released this coming Friday, April 16th. Drop it right before school vacation so folks can have plenty of time to read through the 400 or 500 pages that'll be out there of historical data, narrative, strategic initiatives, and all sorts of other fun stuff. So here we are. I think we had the meeting again with the council a few weeks ago. Wanted to have a joint committee meeting together just to make sure that all the entities were on the same page moving forward. Use this as an opportunity to ask questions about the budget, clarifications on information or misinformation that might be out there floating around in social media world. and give an opportunity for anybody. I think many of the questions that came that night, or some of the curiosity, was revolving around the school district and the school department. And so obviously they're here. We're joined tonight by Dr. Hearn, as well as Dr. Bergen and Denise Spencer, the vice chair of the school committee. And I believe on camera, Tim Keenan and Jen D'Angelo from the school committee are also on as members of their budget subcommittee. And see us how everybody's waving. I'll also acknowledge town councilor Melanie Hamlin and finance committee member Nicole Corvisorio and Susan Dusnap, who's also on the Zoom call here tonight. So it's really an open forum for anybody to ask their questions, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. I guess I'll reiterate what the town administrator asked. Is there anyone before we begin that has concerns or questions on the budget or the process that will be going on this year? Awesome. Anyone want to bring any item on the budget up that they have questions for? Mr. Conley.
Just a question of the town administrator, I guess. I pulled off the MMA site the American Rescue Plan Act numbers. Mm-hmm. Franklin is scheduled is $3,362,000, a lot of cash. Mm-hmm. Has that been allocated in this budget that we're that you will put out on Friday? And if so, how is it?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, the town has not received any funds relative to the American Rescue Act. We don't anticipate any funds coming in until May at the earliest. And there has been no decisions or discussion at all among the town staff on how to spend those resources. One of the main reasons is guidance is now expected out of the U.S. Treasury Department in mid-May. Under those funds as well, the town has 3 years to spend those funds. So unlike the CARES Act money last year, which had a very short window to use those monies, and there will be an appendix in the budget with exactly how all the CARES Act and federal money has been spent. It is important to note, and I'm glad you asked the question, none of the federal money that we've received to date or in the future will be in this FY22 budget proposal that I'm putting out on Friday.
Do you anticipate real restrictions on how it, I mean, is the rumble that there'll be, you know, you can only spend it on COVID-related stuff, or can it be, you know, be nice to be able to put a little away for future budgets? That's what's my hope.
So through you, Mr. Chairman, I think there's going to be more strings attached to that money than originally promoted. I think it was promoted, and to some degree, it's certainly going to be more, there's certainly going to be fewer strings attached than the CARES Act money, which was quite a narrow window. That being said, I think we got another month or two before we really find out how we can spend it. I can assure you one expenditure that will not be on the list is banking it for a rainy day. I don't think that the federal government didn't put all this money out there for us to hold on to it for although I certainly would love to see that, but I think in all earnest, I think they're looking for people to do certain spending with it. I do think it'll go beyond COVID. I do think, for example, one of the uses will certainly be infrastructure. It's already been out there. It's in the legislation. And one use we know it cannot pay for is pensions. So in the budget, you guys are familiar with this. Every year we've been seeing a $500,000 and $600,000 increase in pension line item to the town of Franklin. It's one of the most costly things in our budget year to year now. Our pension assessment in Franklin has doubled in a decade, from $3.3 million to $6.6 million, a decade. I can see why Congress chose not to allow cities or towns to use money for pension assessments, because we probably all would, because of the nature of the number. So I use those as two examples of things that we already know the money can be spent on: infrastructure and broadband, water, sewer, roads, and we know it can't be used for pensions. I think that gives you a little shape into how they're intending for the money to be spent. But Again, none of those funds will be reflected in the revenue sheet in this budget. Federal grants and monies like that by statute have to be in a special revenue account, and they're off budget. And then they'll need to go through, in all likelihood, we don't know, but they'll probably need to go through some sort of appropriation process as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Great question. Yeah. Any other questions? Any questions? Oh, somebody's got their hand up. Melanie, Councilor Hamlin, sorry.
Thank you, Chair Kelly. I find that every year we get kind of people complain a lot about all the training that is given to our staff and the money that's spent on it. And I think people don't look at it the right way or don't think about it the right way. So I don't need an answer now. I just think it would be nice to have maybe a listing of how many people, how many employees get trained, how many trainings they do. And instead of just the basic line of this is how much we paid for training, I think people miss the finer details, and that would be very important for people to understand. Thank you.
Great item.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Anyone else that have their hand up over there? Susan? Susan Jusnap.
Okay, let me unmute. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Jamie, a couple of questions. Just follow up from our last FinCom meeting. At our last FinCom meeting, you did give us a draft, an estimate. I'll put that in big letters. It was not final of what you anticipated the revenue to be for the town. Were you able to make any significant changes to that in your budget proposal?
Through you, Mr. Chair, there was two. So we did come up with final revenues on new growth, and we are getting back to the town policy of using the 10-year new growth average as our new growth number, which is 1.19 million. And so that will be a bump up from the proposal, I think, Sue, you're talking about. In
yes,
addition, I think you're going to see, and I apologize, I don't know the exact dollar, but I'm guessing about $200,000. We've upped our local receipts a couple hundred thousand since that model as well.
Okay.
Other than that, it's still going to be the same because the House and Senate have not finished their budget, obviously. Although I would note, we are not accommodating for the commitment that was announced last week between the House and the Senate that they were going to, not shockingly either, by the way, they're going to exceed the governor's local aid commitment. Both branches already committed to that. They didn't commit to the number yet, though. They just said it was going to be an additional $30 million higher than the governor. But how that flows out to the towns, we're not quite sure yet. So, you know, there will be, like usual, a little extra state aid as well, Sue. But that is not reflected in the budget. The governor's numbers are still reflected in the budget.
Okay, great. So an additional question, if I may. We did have some budget stabilization funds that were set aside. Does your recommended budget include using any of those funds?
It does not.
That makes me very happy, Jamie. Thank you.
In fact,
you knew it would.
In fact,
if
we've actually, Sue, and I was just mentioning this to the staff a moment ago, we're actually still working on, and it's still, it'll be new information the night of the Finance Committee hearing on April 27th. We're trying to propose a new policy on maybe a percentage of free cash to be saved each year into the budget stabilization account. Not a lot. But I think, like OPEB, we've seen the benefits of slow and steady is going to win the race. And I think in this case, seeing as how we do have federal monies that may offset other expenditures in the budget over the next few years, we may not be able to pocket the federal money, but we may be able to offset some other costs somewhere else where we have the leverage to be able to save a few more bucks. Because as you noted, Sue, Obviously, we do very, very well with our stabilization accounts and our finances relative to other towns, but I think it was obvious from the work that Alicia did that there was a lot of other towns who had much more in their rainy day fund than the town of Franklin.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that, because I was going to bring that up, that in one of our past FinCom meetings, we did look at some competitive information. Not competitive is not the right word, but comparative.
Terrible.
Comparative information to other municipalities around us, and you know, our reserve is a little bit too low. All right. I think I'm okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no more hands there. Any hands here? Chairman Mercer.
Just a quick question, and I know a lot of the answer, but I'm not sure everybody out there does, and I know there were questions from the council when we talked about it. Just curious what how you're carrying, since your assessment, your school's facility assessment has been completed, you've gone through this. Curious as to what is being carried in this year's budget for Davis there, for example. And as I know you talked about and are closing Davis there, but you're not declaring it surplus, therefore you do have to carry some money in your budget to keep that facility from going down.
Sure. Through the chair, happy yes. to answer that question. So as you know, we did, the school committee voted to close Davis there beginning next year, and we're in the process of implementing a transition plan where, you know, by and large, the biggest amount of our budget is in staffing. And we have kept up with enrollment-driven declines over the years. So many staff from Davis there, but not all, will be reassigned elsewhere in the district. We did realize a savings in our budget of about $770,000, and that has been kind of reinvested elsewhere into the budget, into the FY22 budget that the school committee will be voting on tomorrow night. In terms of declaring it surplus, it is currently being used as a school building, so it feels premature to declare the building as surplus. But as part of the study, we did think about potential school-based uses, did not really imagine or envision, given the status of the building, its accessibility, and adequacy as a school. So we don't have a proposed alternative school-based use, and I anticipate asking the school committee to declare it a surplus at some point in the future as part of the transition process.
Okay, I guess a lot of people, and I know a lot of the community doesn't understand the process with closing a school. And if I might just...
Please go.
Help with this a little bit, in the sense that once a school is closed by the school committee, who has complete authority to close it, it then is still part of the school committee's facilities. It does not revert back to the town until they declare it surplus. And the concern that I had was, I just want to make sure that you are carrying numbers, dollars, in your budget to keep that facility not up and running, but keeping it from getting any further in decline through this next year anyway.
Sure. Go ahead, Town Administrator.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. So that is correct. We are doing, you know, the budget, the facilities budget will reflect less water use, will reflect less electricity use, because obviously those things, the water's just not going to be on. My budget will also, in contrast, reflect the library, senior center, and other school buildings that, we did make cuts to last year because we anticipated months where those buildings wouldn't be used. We did replenish those full accounts back to where they were. A great example is like the library. You know, we put it back to FY20 levels, those levels of water, electricity, gas, all that type of stuff. But we do have in the budget enough funds dedicated towards Davis there to make sure that the building does not go into any type of decline when it's not being used in September. So that is assured for in the facilities budget of public property. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I think that Chairman Mercer brings up a good point, because if we're going to, if we march down this road in December and declare the surplus, we need to know what that monthly amount is, because we need to figure out where, at some point that burden comes onto the town council's budget, and I want to make sure that the town council is not stuck with it, but with that, with having not the money reserves for it, but at the same time, I want to make sure you have the money that you have to be able to keep that building going adequately until it is transferred into surplus. I completely understand your case where you can't, you don't want to move that while there's still kids and children in the building. I completely understand that. So, but we'll probably expect somewhere, you know, by the end of the year that it would be declared, if from what I'm understanding, and then from there it will come over for the remaining amount of the budget until the FY23 year. But okay. Council Plegri.
Through the chair, why would we wait until the end of the year to say that it's surplus? The kids are out, the students are out of school in May, beginning of June. We have all of those months to take care of things, probably about 6 months. Why wouldn't we declare it surplus? So that we could see the money that is not going to have to be spent on the Davis Thayer School and perhaps use that for something else.
So, through the chair?
Please, go ahead.
Thank you. So, you know, I necessarily put out too premature a date when there's still so much to do in terms of packing up the materials that do need to follow the students to the Keller location. And the classrooms and the teachers and the students. We'll have some, I think, cleanup to do, because not everything will be going over to a new location, and that's gonna take some time. And I think we'll move as fast as we can while also doing our typical routines. It may be sooner than the end of the year. I think we'll chip away at it and move forward when the school committee is ready to make that decision.
Jamie, is there any idea of the cost to keep the Davis Thayer going from June to the end of the year?
To December?
Yeah.
Like to the end? I would certainly have to talk to Mike just to get the exact numbers of electricity numbers,
right.
You know, water, all that stuff.
And heat, yeah.
Well, we have it broken out in his budget painfully by every account. You know, it's pages and pages and pages mm-hmm. by every building in town. But I think quickly what I think the superintendent's alluding to is that, you know, the kids get out, I want to say, the end of June, maybe June 21st, June 20th.
22nd.
So then you're, you know, once the kids are gone, you know, I think, you know, you still got a building full of furniture, right, food. I think, you know, it's going to take some weeks or months to clean that out, to move a lot of those staples to Keller Sullivan. And you know, our custodians and team will do a lot of that, but it's going to take a while with some movers. And you know, I would think that by the end of the summer is my guess is when the school district will have moved those children's seats, teachers, other staff to their new location. And then we're going to have to look and see what's left, you know, how many tables, how many desks, how many chairs. I wouldn't be sad if Miriam was the one that had to surplus that stuff off, or if we're putting it in storage, letting them do some of that work isn't such a bad thing. They deal with school desks, I don't. So I think a lot of those internal discussions are gonna have to happen about what to do with all the contents mm-hmm. inside. Mm-hmm. But storage. Mike's already done projections on what water use and electricity and all of those things will cost. So. Those will all be in the budget. I can certainly jump upstairs and send them to you a little bit later about what those are, but I'd have to certainly talk to him the accurate numbers.
Okay. Storage is full.
You're gonna sell it.
It took us too long to empty it, so it's full.
I agree.
I'm not telling anybody where the keys are to the lock. So.
I'm all set right now.
Yeah. Thank you, Councilor Flegrie. Any other questions or comments? Nothing from online, so on our Zoom. Jamie, anything to add before we wrap this up?
No, just through you, Mr. Chairman, again, the budget will be unveiled on this Friday, the 16th. We'll have budget links. We'll send it out to everybody. The narrative, the budget book. We have four or five appendices with historical data, a whole view of other stuff, federal money. So there'll be plenty of material for the community to pour through.
Okay.
That's it.
With that, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Second.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Have a good night.
We're enough.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.